And Father, I ask that you touch every hearer. I ask that your spirit will move in our hearts and crystallize the reality of your kingdom. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. The short discipleship class, we can have our seats. The short discipleship class I wanted us to examine is something that will help us understand the faith and grow in the faith. There's somebody here, you have been really, really troubled. And the way your heart is troubled, it's actually not because of anything that is happening around you. It is an affliction. It's a spirit of worry. Receive deliverance from that in the name of Jesus. Because if that worry does not leave your heart, you will not be able to gain from what the Lord is saying today. I remember when I was that troubled many years ago, and I was born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost. But my heart was so troubled. Now, when I look at the things that were troubling my heart, I smile. And I still remember the way the Lord gave me deliverance from that worry and anxiety was through this song. He's alive and he lives inside of me. I don't know if you know this song. He's called me and made me his own. He'll make a way where there seems to be no way. He's alive and he lives inside of me. Jesus Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What Jesus promises us is rest, peace. Peace that is beyond understanding. And I'm here to assure you in the name of the Lord that the Lord is going to take care of whatever it is that is troubling you. Now, I promise those of you that came early that we're going to do short discipleship class. What is discipleship class? We don't have much time. I think we'll just do maybe for 15 minutes. Discipleship class is the class and the foundational teachings of the faith that will help you to have a firm foundation in your walk with God. Because without those foundational truths of the faith, you will not be stable spiritually. Some of you, you've had seasons in your life when you were on fire for Jesus. You were enjoying your relationship with God. But something happened along the way, you went down. And you have not experienced spiritual stability for up to 1 year. I've been there, and I know exactly how it feels. It can be very, very frustrating. It can be very, very frustrating. Where your walk with God is not stable. That's not the will of God for you. And you see, I'm a civil engineer by academic training. And one of the things we learned in civil engineering is the importance of foundation. The foundation of a building. You see this story building that we are in right now. If the foundation wasn't done properly, the building would have collapsed long ago. So it becomes so important that when you are starting a building, there is something they call site investigation. If it's a very big, massive building, they will even send geologists or geotechnical engineers to first come and do investigation, take samples of the soil, check where there is underground rock, check the texture of the soil before they start the structure. And all of this is still foundation. And after they've done a proper foundation, there are buildings that are up to 100-story buildings. 100 floors, and they are standing. Some of them have been standing for more than 50 years, 60 years. World Trade Center, the reason why it came down was because they brought it down. It would have still been standing. It's an old building. But the secret is foundation. And I asked you, okay, I don't want to embarrass you. I asked you, I said, why did you do water baptism? And you see, the fact you couldn't answer that question is not strange. Many Christians cannot tell you the reason and the importance of things as basic as water baptism. Are you with me? Baptism in the Holy Spirit. What is the function? Why did Jesus say, he that believe and is baptized shall be saved? Because there are many people, because the day you came out for altar call and you say the sinner's prayer, the pastor told you that you are saved. So why then should you be baptized? And what I want to just focus on today is, I will start from, okay, let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6. That seems to be the most convenient to read now. Hebrews chapter 6 and from verse 1. Remember, this is not the main course. This is just a short introductory class. It says, therefore, we must progress beyond the elementary instructions about Christ and move on to maturity. How many of you know what they call elementary school? What's elementary school? It's the lowest level, primary school, kindergarten, nursery school. That's elementary school. He said we must move on beyond the elementary instructions about Christ and move on to maturity. The problem is that there are too many believers that don't even understand the elementary instructions about Christ. And that's the reason why there are so many believers that are not spiritually stable. Today they are on fire for Jesus. They are living for Jesus. Tomorrow, they don't understand who they are. Oh, by the way, the fact that you were tempted and you fell into sin and you repented of that sin does not mean that you are not spiritually stable. It means that you need to watch that area of temptation. Amen? Yes. It means that you need to watch that area of temptation and ensure that you don't fall in that temptation. In fact, the reason why, because a believer fell into temptation, fell into a sin, no matter what the sin is, the most popular sins that make people to feel that they have been separated from God is immorality. And that's because of the bandwidth of darkness, of condemnation that that sin carries. But it's not only immorality that's a sin. In fact, the Bible says if you hate your brother, you are a murderer. So there's a Christian. This person is a Christian, but just realize that it started with envy. I don't like this person. And it has grown to hatred. To the point that if you hear that this person died, you don't care. You are, in fact, you say, thank God. Yeah. You have to watch it. You have to watch it. Because the Bible says that when you have come to that place, spiritually, you are a murderer. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. Now, it says, therefore, we must progress beyond the elementary instructions about Christ and move on to maturity. Oh, one of the ways by which you know, Jesus Christ says, love your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you. One of the ways, because there are some people, even though they are believers, they have done things that have proven to you that they are your enemies. You know, there are all kinds of believers today. And if you are not careful, you will discover that you will be wishing evil for them without knowing it. You know, one of the ways to deal with that, to handle that and overcome that, pray for them. You cannot be praying for somebody and hate them at the same time. Try it. See, no matter how much a person has hurt you, and you want the person to die, you know there's a way a person can hurt you that your soul, your Adamic soul, wants that person to die. Eh? You know, you are not supposed to be like that as a believer. The reason is because God is the one. The Bible says promotion does not come from the east, nor from the west, nor from God is the one that lifts up and brings down. Your promotion is not in the hand of any man. Amen. If you believe that, there are some people that you discover that half of your enemies will disappear. They will disappear from your mind. Because the reason why they are so is because you feel that because maybe they are witches or they are wizards, they have the power to cage your destiny or hinder you. They don't have that power. You are a child of God. Are you getting my point? They don't have that power over you. He says you are dead and your life is hidden in Christ, in God. What does it mean to be dead? You had some things that you planned before you became born again. You had some agendas. You had some desires. You had the way you live your life. If you do me, I do you. I will do you twice. All of those kinds of things. When you became born again, one of the first things that the Holy Spirit begins to do to you is that He begins to guide you into all truth. And it will manifest in the fact that you will just discover that your life is no longer about pleasing Abraham. It is now about pleasing Jesus. That is the definition of dying to self. Life is no longer about you. It's about fulfilling the purpose of God for your life. Are you getting my point? That's why when a person slaps you, Jesus said they slap you on one cheek, turn the other. You don't see the need to. No, it's not because you are, in fact, you are more powerful than you were when you would have retaliated. You can think of five different ways to mess that person up. Amen? But the Bible says you are dead and your life is hidden in Christ, in God. You see, the reason why people get angry so easily is because they are not yet dead. They see the soul life is still very strong. But when you allow, the Bible says he that will follow me must deny himself, take up his cross and what? Follow me. That's what our Lord said. So when you allow that crucifixion, I have been crucified with Christ, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me, and the life I now live in the body, I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When you enter into that kind of living, you will discover that the witch that will be able to affect you, we have to pass through God and Jesus Christ before they touch you. He said, because you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. So elementary things. When you pass through the elementary, it helps your foundation to be firm. If your foundation is not firm, you will just discover that you may have been a Christian for 40 years and you never experienced spiritual stability. So you never grew in 40 years from being a spiritual baby. When God, destruction is coming to your city, you will not know. Because God does not talk to you. Why does God not talk to you? There are many things you want to tell babies that they cannot get. It's not that God does not love you. Before destruction came to Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham was far away. God told Abraham. Are you getting my point? Sometimes, as you grow in maturity, you will discover that you have power with God. May the Lord give us understanding. But if you are always spending all your energy falling and rising, you will not be able to grow to that point of maturity. Now, it says we must go to maturity. It says not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith in God, teaching about baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. I'm just going to talk about baptisms briefly, and then we'll go into our main class. I think I cannot go beyond 10 minutes on this discipleship class. So, what exactly happened to you when you gave your life to Christ? Let me quickly tell you now that if the motivation for you giving your life to Christ, if the only motivation was physical and material upliftment, they say give your life to Christ, and if you give your life to Christ, after 3 years you will hammer, you will blow, you become a millionaire, and that was the reason you gave your life to Christ, let me announce to you that you have not given your life to Christ. Are you getting it? Does Jesus bless people? Answer now. Does Jesus make people to hammer? Yes. All of you know that the devil does it. There is nothing that the devil can do. There's nothing the devil does for people that God cannot do for people, even more. Between God and the devil, who is more powerful? But I am trying to tell you now that if the objective, the main reason you gave your life to Christ is because of that, you need to be evangelized to again. You see, one of the things that God has done for us as human beings is that he has put eternity in our hearts. John chapter 1 says there is a light that shines upon everyone that was born into this world. There is something about you and me that it's a native knowledge. It's not a mental knowledge. How do I mean by native knowledge? You know, when a baby is born, for example, they don't need to teach the baby how to suck milk. It's native knowledge. There is no educational system that you see. Then you will do like this. You will put force. You will draw the milk. It's a native knowledge. There are many things that are native. They don't teach the baby that when your leg is spinning you or your tummy is spinning you, cry. Why? It's native. You see, there are some things that God has implanted in us like that. They are native knowledge. And one of these things that many people do not realize is the consciousness of eternity. You see, that's the reason why we are afraid of dying. That's the reason why human beings generally are afraid of what? They are afraid of death. And one of the reason is because for some reason we know. See, let's face it. You know how difficult it is to be alive? You know the pressures. You know some people, they get to a point, they give up, they go and commit suicide. They say, I'm tired. The pressures, the expectations to survive. Then why then are people afraid of dying? It's because of that native knowledge of eternity. You don't know it. It's not mental knowledge. It's what? The same way you don't teach a dog how to bark. Have you ever seen mother gathering small dog and say, go, and teaching them how to bark? No. If a dog is born today, carry it away from his mother. Give it milk and let it grow up. It will bark. Amen? Now, one of these things that God has put in our hearts is the consciousness of eternity. And that's why even before now, time immemorial, when you go into all human cultures and civilization, you discover that most of them had this consciousness that there is life after death. They had this consciousness that if you die, you did not really die. Your spirit and your soul lives on. You begin to hear them saying things like our ancestors. You begin to hear names like Babatunde. What's the meaning of Babatunde? Baba came back again. You begin to hear all over the different cultures, whether in the eastern part of the world or the western part of the world or the Middle East, everywhere, or the northern part of the world or the southern part of the world, those really cold regions. Check those cultures. Before secular humanism came, there is something called secular humanism. I don't have time to go into that because this is an introductory class. Because secular humanism that makes you, if you see people that say, there's nothing like life after death, there's no God, that is the spirit of secular humanism speaking. And that's the spirit upon which the Antichrist will ride. May God give us understanding in Jesus' name. So there's a consciousness of eternity. I was reading Reinhard Bonnke's book. It's a great inspiration to me personally. The Lord used that man to bring millions of people to faith with real miracles and signs and wonders as confirmation of the gospel that this man preached. How many of you have heard of Reinhard Bonnke? Some of you are too young. Hi. These people are young. Chibuzo. These guys don't know Reinhard Bonnke. You see that there's a real generational shift. Hi. You've never heard of Reinhard Bonnke? You've never heard of Reinhard Bonnke? You heard of him, but have you ever heard of Reinhard Bonnke? You see, if you were in my age group, me and Chibuzo's age group, and you're a Christian, it's very unusual for you not to have known of Reinhard Bonnke. Because he was the most popular evangelist in the late 19th century and early 20th century. The late 20th century and early 21st century was the most popular evangelist in Africa. Everywhere he went, we gathered hundreds of thousands, even millions of people. His crusades were a beautiful sight to behold. I attended one of his crusades and it was wonderful. Now, one of the things I read in his book was how he was explaining his motivation for preaching the gospel. And he keeps saying that he wants hell to be empty and heaven to be full. Because at some point I started asking myself that, Lord, why did you confirm the words of this man like this with signs and wonders? Because there is a gospel that many of us are conversant with, which is the gospel of breakthrough. And I remember we've established that God gives breakthrough, right? We've established it. But the gospel of breakthrough is a very unfortunate thing if that is how you came into the faith. Because what that gospel basically says is that give your life to Jesus Christ and your life on earth will be good. It does not focus on eternity. Are you understanding? There are many people, they say, forget about hell, forget about heaven, let us enjoy now. That's a very foolish way of thinking. Especially for people who are supposed to know better. You know why it's a foolish way of thinking? Because see, as we are talking right now, people are dying. Your life here on earth is so short compared to how long you will live as a person. Because you will never die. You will never cease to exist. Are you getting my point? In the next 1 million years, you are going to be alive. When you leave this earth, where are you going to? Where will you spend your eternity? And that's not only the point. Even while you are in this earth, living on this earth, God wants you to live a life of purpose. Because it is as you live a life of purpose on this earth that you will be rewarded. Amen. In the world to come. And when I talk about the world to come, I mean the world order that is coming. Because the world to come, when I say the world to come, Jesus is going to rule over this earth for 1,000 years. This earth, he will rule over our for 1,000 years during his second coming. Amen. Amen. Please, I hope I'm not confusing you. So you give your life to Jesus Christ because you wanted to be saved from condemnation. He that believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Where do people perish? When you leave this world, most people are going to hell. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But it is only those people that believe in Jesus that will not perish. Jesus told his disciples, these were people that already believed in him, and they were being trained by him to become his apostles. He said, if your right hand causes you to sin, he said, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than for you to be thrown into hellfire, even though your hands are complete. Are you understanding my point? And there was a message there that Jesus does not want anybody to end up in hellfire. I don't care how much we are trying to de-emphasize eternity. We are eternal beings. Amen? 1. 2. Jesus Christ came to save us not only from the penalty. You know when you talk about penalty? Penalty. Penalty is punishment for something that you did. If you play anyhow in the football and force somebody, there can be a penalty. Right? In life too, there's what they call punitive measures and all of that is penalty. If you go to the courts now, and maybe you did something, and then the judge sentences you and say you are going to pay this fine. That's a penalty. Punishment. That's another word. Jesus Christ did not only come and save us from the punishment of sin. He came to save us from the power of sin. In order for you to be saved from the power of sin, you must know the Lord. You must be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You must be baptized in water. That is what it means for you to... Amen? For you to have deep foundations in your walk with the Lord. So, Jesus was the one that says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And the first baptism that most Christians undergo, according to the book of Acts, is water baptism. Although there are instances where, and it has happened to me, even in my personal preaching of the gospel, where people give their life to Jesus, and before they are baptized in water, they are baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. What exactly does baptism do? Believing in Jesus Christ means that you are handing over the ownership and the control and the lordship of your life from you to Jesus. Because when it was with you, you were actually ruled by the devil. But now that you have believed in Jesus, believe in him as what? As Lord. Amen? Believing in Jesus does not just mean believing in him as... You know that some people, they say they believe in Jesus as a prophet. That's not what it means to believe in Jesus. Believing in Jesus means that you believe in him as Lord. And you accept him as the Lord of your life. And when this happens, your spirit will begin to yearn to hear from him. Because if Jesus is the Lord of your life, it means that he will rule your life. And how will he rule your life when you cannot hear him? Amen? So Jesus said, my sheep, they hear my voice and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life. So if you have become Jesus' property, he's now the Lord of your life, One of the strongest desires of your heart is that you want to hear him. And one of the easiest ways of hearing him, before you begin to recognize his voice that leads you day by day, is the Bible. The Bible is God's word to you. You want to know, because you are going to face many situations in life that are routine. Like you are in a situation where you have to lie. And you want to know whether Jesus wants you to lie, since he's now your Lord. If you read the Bible, you will know his mind on such a matter. And let me say this. Holy Spirit, help us. Let me say this for the record. You are a Christian. Tell your neighbor you are a Christian. You are not a Jew. Because we have the Bible, 66 books of the Bible. And most of those books are what we call the Old Testament. And then the other part is called the New Testament. And what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, who are the pioneers, the first people to be Christians, what they taught us was that they read that part of the Bible that we call the Old Testament and interpreted it according to the way Christ taught them to interpret it. Are you getting my point? You see, the reason why I say we are Christians, because some of you will say, there was a time that, what is her name? Rahab lied because she wanted to one thing. And then that becomes your own example and your own precedence for lying because of the Bible. That's why I quickly told you that we are what? We are Christians. Who is a Christian? A Christian is a person who lives his life according to the words and the teachings of Christ. Amen? So there are many things that are very common. For example, polygamy. You know what polygamy is? One man marrying 3 wives, 4 wives, 5 wives, depending on how much money or how many women are willing to marry him. Or how much money he has. You get what I'm saying? And then you begin to hear people say that, David married many wives. And even God told David that if he wanted more wives, I would have given you. And Solomon married many wives. David was not a Christian, he was a Jew. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. And there are many things that David could do then. Because what you operate in, David, what you operate in is not what David is operating. You have something in Christ, in God. It's called the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ said that the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist was one of the greatest in the old order. So the expectations of God for you are much higher than what we found in the old order. Are we together? Amen. 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 So the word of God as found in the New Testament and the Old Testament as explained by the Spirit of Christ is your example. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. If I go beyond this now, I'll be going beyond the elementary teachings. So, he that believes and is baptized. Why must you be baptized? Because water baptism, first and foremost, you need to realize that your salvation is not just spiritual. Your salvation is also physical. What did I say? It is not just spiritual, it's also physical. That's one thing many believers do not understand in this day and age. Jesus Christ did not just come and save your spirit and your soul. He also came to save your body. That's why during the resurrection, you will receive a brand new body. That's why the Holy Spirit says, yes, you receive a brand new body. He says that he may sanctify you, that your whole spirit, soul, and body may be sanctified and kept blameless unto the coming of the Lord. If salvation was spiritual, then you can be using your body to do anything. It will not affect your salvation. But you agree with me that the things you do with your body, help me stop that. You agree with me that the things you do with your body can affect the salvation of your spirit and of your soul. Because man is not just a spirit and a soul. Man is spirit, soul, and body. Some people ended up in hell. Some people ended up in hell because they did not learn how to, learn how the King James Version put it, how to, they did not learn how to possess their bodies, their vessels. They didn't learn how to control their bodies. If you carry yourself now to a wrong place, you carry yourself to a club. There's one club there. I don't know. 3AD or what? There's one club there. You carry yourself. You say you are born again. Jesus has sanctified you. But you carry your body there every night and sit down there. You know, after some time, because your body is in the wrong place, it will affect that your salvation that you say is spiritual. Because you will start doing things and saying things and experiencing things that will be contrary to your salvation. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so that's one of the reasons why God insists that you must be baptized in water. How many of you have ever been to, please don't raise your hand, how many of you have ever been to a babalawo before and they made marks on your body? Now, you will agree with me that in spite of the fact that they made marks on your body, it can affect the state of your heart and your mind and even your destiny. Where did they make the mark? On your body. What they didn't, it was your body that they made the mark on. But it is affecting spiritual things. And that's the same reason why there are things that God has prescribed that should happen to our bodies. Amen? Because when the devil wants to do, the devil is very smart. In fact, the more you have spiritual understanding, you will realize that these things that some people have frowned upon, even in the body of Christ, is because of their level of spiritual understanding. How will a believer say that water baptism is useless? Why should a believer say that? It's because he does not have spiritual understanding. Because I've also, when I was much more shallow in my understanding, I also used to believe that water baptism is useless. But as I grew in spiritual understanding, I realized that it was because of ignorance I was saying that. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. Yes. So there are things that God will do to your body. One of the, you know, when you go through water baptism, it's something that happens to your body. You are put inside water and you are brought out of the water. Yes. That is something that has very deep spiritual significance. You know the story of that man who his friend was looking for him in UK. He went to a witch. Where's my friend? The witch said, sorry, your friend died so day. And this was where he was living the last time before he died. Somehow he did not believe that his friend was dead. So when he eventually found that friend, months later, he realized that truly, truly, that friend once lived in that house. But the difference was that the friend was still alive, but the witch said the friend has died. And since the day the witch said the friend has died, the witch and her powers could not locate the friend again. Yes. And when he told his friend, who was now a pastor, his friend said, this was the day I was baptized in water. Because as soon as he was baptized in water, his spiritual database was what? Was deleted in darkness. Now, the Bible says that you were buried through baptism. Even in the world, in any organized setting, you will find that when people die, I told us the story, wasn't it? I was telling the story of one woman where her husband died, and before her husband died, he forgot to change the will. He was married to one woman for maybe 1 year or a few months, and she was his next of kin. And then they divorced, then he now married another woman. These are unbelievers. And they lived till they were old together. But for some reason, he forgot to change his will, such that his retirement benefits and whatever, life insurance, would have gone to the first wife that he married for a few months. This woman that lived with him for many years, because he forgot to change it, nothing would have gone to her. So she made sure that his body was not buried. She hid his body in a freezer. Because as soon as they bury him and there's record, you know, because as soon as the person, there's record, it will reflect back to the company. And then they will send all the benefits to to the first wife. So for years, she refused to bury the man. Because when you are buried, it is your final disconnection from this world. And you know that you are a new creature. If anyone is in Christ, a new creature, all things are passed away. What is your final disconnection? A lot of things that the devil can do, because before you became born again, you were not spiritually alive. So what the devil was doing was that he was using your body to manipulate your soul. So all the things that the devil does is through your body. There's always all kinds of bodily contacts, whether it is through immorality, through incisions, through things you eat, all of that. So in order to disconnect you from that line, that baptism is important. Because it's something that happens to your body. And it signifies death, burial, and resurrection into the new life. Amen? You see, there are many believers that are struggling with sins. I'm not talking about sins that they went to acquire because of their inquisitiveness. You know, one of the reasons why Eve ate that fruit was because she was inquisitive. How is it? Hey, I'm talking about sins that people are struggling with because of things that were done in their bloodline. Their father had that same struggle. Their grandfather had that same struggle. Are you getting my point? And it's now beginning to be their own struggle. Amen? And one of the easiest ways that you can be disconnected from that life, because when that covenant that your forefather had, there were some bodily things he had to do. He needed to stand on one pot, eat something, do one thing, sleep with one woman. Do you understand what I'm saying? God needs to do something to your body to signify the death and disconnection from the old life. And that is what? Water baptism. Now, some of you will hear this short. Now, the sermon has ended. The discipleship class for today has ended. Because if there is any one of you here that was not baptized. Now, here is the way baptism is real and is effectual. The Bible says, he that believes and is baptized. It didn't say he that is baptized and then later believes. So if you were baptized as a child and then 2 years ago you eventually believed, you surrendered your life to Jesus as the Lord of your life, that baptism is not, it doesn't have any effect. Why? Because it didn't happen, you didn't believe and you were baptized. You don't bury a person before they die. It's when a person dies that you bury them. So you say, he that believes and is baptized, the same shall be saved. But if you were baptized after you believed, even if you didn't know all these things, now that you know them, you will drag these realities into your life by faith. By what? I like giving you, see that car, if I give you that car key now and say, I dash you my car. You know, if you let's say you don't know what a car is and you don't know how to drive a car. You know, you have the car, but you cannot use it. Eh? They've given you the key. They give you the particulars. They give you everything. But you don't even know how to drive a car. You know, even though you have the car, will you use it? No. You'll be like, maybe you even hang it and say, key more fine. But no usefulness. But the day somebody now comes and tells you that, you didn't know that the day Abraham gave you those keys, he gave you the car, this is how to drive car, you will now be using the car. That's the same thing with this baptism we are talking about. Even though you didn't know about the baptism, but you believed and you were baptized. Now that you know about it, it's like someone is educating you about the car that you have always owned, but you didn't know how to drive it. So you now begin to activate these things by faith. Amen? So the next time anything of the old life wants to manifest, find expression in your life, say, don't you know? Romans chapter 6. Verse 1. He says, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? He says, God forbid. He says, do you not know? Let's read it. So when the devil wants to, because the devil is a liar, when he wants to come and start pretending as if you are not disconnected from him, as if you do not have a new life and the old life is gone, you remind him. He says, do you not know that as many as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him. How? Through baptism. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a spiritual ceremony. It's a very powerful one. It's so important that it was prefigured twice in the Old Testament. And I'm going to give us an assignment against next week. When were the two times that baptism was prefigured in the Old Testament? Next week, please remind me, when we are doing our short discipleship class, we are going to look at when baptism was prefigured twice. That is your assignment. You can write that down. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Today, our word encounter sermon. Sorry for those of us that are following online or those that will follow. The reason why we're just starting our word encounter sermon is because we needed to do discipleship class for some of our brethren that just dedicated their lives to Jesus. Amen. And I pray for you that the Lord will establish you in the faith. You will grow into the fullness of the stature of Christ. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, today our topic is actually called scripted. Scripted. What does it mean for something to be scripted? So, Femi, draw a line. Don't continue jotting on after discipleship. This is a new session for those of you that are taking notes. And I want to, if you are the note-taking kind of person, I want to encourage you to be taking notes. Some people are not note-taking kinds of persons. Taking notes distracts them. But if you are the kind of person that takes notes, that means you go back and go and study the note. I want to encourage you by all means that when you come for these meetings, take notes. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Amen. So our topic today is scripted. You know, we are on the Kingdom Life series. And one of the purposes of this series is to help you to understand the Kingdom Life. When you give your life to Christ, you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, you were translated out of the kingdom of darkness and you were brought into the kingdom of light. You are now in a new kingdom. You see, that's the reason why the devil cannot just wake up in the morning, tomorrow morning, and say, we are going to kill Tosi. Or even the biggest witch in your village, and say, we are going to kill Tosi and succeed. He's not giving to him. You know why? Because the Bible says that you have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of his dear son. One of my mentors, one of the people that the Lord has really used to teach me, I never met him personally, he's late now, his name is Derek Prince. And there was something that happened to him. He was one of the servants of God that the Lord used to teach the church, especially in America and in the Western world, about deliverance. Because then, believers did not know much about deliverance and how to cast out evil spirits from people. And yet, one of the mandates that Jesus gave the church, the New Testament church, is that he says, preach the gospel, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. He said, this sign shall follow they that believe. In my name, they will what? They will cast out devils. But for some reason, the church lost that knowledge and that consciousness. So casting out devils was foreign. He was one of the people that the Lord used to teach people that you should cast out devils. There are many people that are struggling with certain sins, even believers, and they did not know that the reason why this struggle is so strong, this pressure to commit this sin is so strong, is because there are devils that need to be cast out of their lives. Oh yes. And as soon as you cast out those devils, their thinking will no longer be interrupted by external forces. They are called the fairy darts of the enemy. The devil sends thoughts to people. You know, there are some people, they wake up in the morning and if they don't sleep with a woman till evening, they will not be able to rest. They will not be able to rest. And that sleeping with a woman, I don't mean their wife. I mean sexual immorality that leads to defilement. And sometimes these people are even born again. But something happened along the way and they were demonized. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, this servant of God, Derek Prince, one day, he was doing deliverance for one lady. He was casting out the devils in her. And the demon started speaking. Now, there was no way that the woman would have known the car he came with. You know, my car now is metallic color. Imagine that you are casting out devils, you are praying for somebody, and somebody say, I see a Toyota Camry. I see a Toyota Camry. It had accident. The car scattered. All the people in the car died. I see your car. On your way back, it had accident. Are you understanding my point? And he said, he rebuked the evil spirit. He said, that is the will of the devil, but I don't walk in the will of the devil. Amen. He said, that is the will of the devil, but I don't walk. The man died at almost 90 years old. He never had accident.
Why could
he? I was so confident. It wasn't shout. It wasn't even. So, that's the will of the devil. I don't walk in the will of the devil. There are some dreams that you have, that you've seen, that have made you, thrown you into a fit of anxiety. And you didn't just realize that dream you had was just the will of the devil. The question is, do you walk in the will of the devil? Many of you that are here, you wouldn't have been here today if you were walking in the will of the devil, because the devil did not want you to come. There was one movie, there was one thing of interest that came up. So, our topic today, once again, is what? Scripted. God has a will for you. Please tell your neighbor, God has a will for you. And I'm not even just talking about God's general will for you. God is really involved in our lives when we are born again. Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. I also want to read it for us from the congregation. Hebrews 10, 7. Yes.
It is written about me in the scroll.
Yes.
I have come to do your will.
Let me read it here from King James. Say, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. It says, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Jesus Christ is our perfect example, right?
Yes.
The reason why we are Christians is that we are becoming like Christ. You know what about Christ? Jesus Christ came to do the will of the Father. And if we are going to be like Christ, we must live to do the will of the Father. Now let me tell you something about God. God is very, very organized. How many of you have ever met people that are really organized? I will tell you that my wife is much more organized than me. One of the first things that she insisted that we do, I used to do it before, but I just stopped doing it. She insisted that we do. When we got married, was that she wanted me to schedule, to have a schedule. She used to ask me that, what is the schedule for my day? You know what the schedule is? Everything that you will do that day, you have already planned it. Have you ever met very successful people? See, there's a level at which you get to that. If you are going to have to keep up with the demands, you have to have a schedule. Somebody cannot just call you in the middle of the afternoon for 2 hours to talk about Chelsea and talk about Iyawura, your neighbor, and talk about... It depends on how big... It's okay if you are not busy, right? But there's a level of productivity that your life will have, that your life will have to be scripted. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You see, this is our God. He's the one that invented being organized. God is organized. If you look at the way they were supposed to build the temple of God, how many of you, those of you that are recent converts, I challenge you to start reading the Bible and strive to understand it. That Bible you have is a good Bible. It's simple English. I challenge you to start reading the Bible and other. And don't just read the places that you like reading. Read from Genesis to Revelation. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because if you read the book of Leviticus, you read the book of Exodus, you read those books of Moses, you will see that God gave Moses a template for the temple. And it was very, very organized. Everything was planned. It's not like Amadioha's shrine. Have you ever been to a... You know, the way you will know the kind of spirit we are dealing with, if you saw the temple, that Solomon built. Are you getting me? He built it thousands of years ago. It was as organized and as modern and as structured as any building today. You know, now because of science and technology and knowledge, we have learned to be very organized. Have you ever been to a construction site and it's a real construction site? Not the one that, share the room like this. One woman say, let it be 2 bedroom. I'm talking about a real construction site. You discover there will be an architectural plan. Right? Like this building we are in now. There was an architectural plan. They came to do setting out. And all of that. Before you see me, everything you see in this building was planned. Even the electrical wiring. Somebody sat down and designed and said, there will be a socket here. Drill it. There will be a socket here. Chibuzo, you know what I'm talking about. There will be two fans. They didn't just say, after they did, I said, this room big, go. Oh yeah, put one fan for here. Those are buildings that used to catch fire easily. So God is very, very organized. In fact, the doctrine of predestination has caused confusion for many people. Because they say, the people that God will save, he has already determined to save them. So we can just leave anyhow. The people where God will save, go save. The people will not be saved. That's not the way to handle the doctrine of predestination. If there's anything you must learn from doctrine of predestination, is that God does not do anything that he did not plan to do. If you see God angry now, God came and he's angry. He knows the end from the beginning. Are you getting my point? It's not like you that you are giving to emotion. That your emotions control you. God is not controlled by emotion, he's controlled by principles. So if you see God angry today, the thing that made him angry today, is the same thing that will make him angry tomorrow. If you do it. That's why the Bible is a sure guide for knowing God. Because some of you, the reason why you were angry today was because the weather was hot and you were uncomfortable. The same thing that the person did tomorrow, when the weather was cold and you were happy, you ate pounded yam, you will not be angry. Because your own anger is not based on principle, it's based on what? Emotion. Most people are like that. But if you're a man, you shouldn't be like that. If you're going to be a man after God's heart that behaves like God, you shouldn't be like that. You must be ruled by principle, not by emotion. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. Now, some women are... I have a feeling that some women that will be watching this will be like, yeah, as a woman too, you shouldn't be like that. You know that women are more given to emotion than men. But you shouldn't be like that. You must be ruled by what? Principle. So, your life was scripted. Because God knows the end from the beginning. God has a plan for you. You that you are born again now, God planned that you will be born again. It wasn't something that happened by coincidence. Are you getting my point? No. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God has before ordained, that we should what? Walk in them. Because this is not a teaching about predestination, I'm not going to belabor that point. And I'm going to try as much as possible to avoid that point. Tell your neighbor, your life has been scripted. The place we just read, it says, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. Because Jesus Christ, everything that he did on earth was scripted. In fact, when he was on the cross, amen? If you read John's account, and he said, I test. He says he was not really testy. He said, but that what was written may be fulfilled. Because according to the prophecies concerning him, when he was on the cross, he was going to say, I test. You know why Jesus Christ knew that? It was because Jesus Christ was a person of the scriptures. One. Amen. And more importantly, he was a man of the spirit. There was nothing that happened to Jesus Christ that he did not know that it would happen to him. You see, as you grow spiritually and you become a man of the spirit, there will be very few surprises. In fact, there will be no surprises in your life because the Lord would have revealed it to you. Look at Apostle Paul. He was in a ship. The ship was going to have a capsize. The Lord told him, it will be capsized, but nobody will die. He even warned them, he said, this ship will drown. No. He said, no. They went. God told him, don't worry, nobody will die. He told them, he said, see, nobody in this ship will die. If you read the story, you discover that it was a miracle by which nobody, it was a miracle that made nobody to die. Because the ship actually capsized inside cold water. And they had to use sticks, pieces of the ship, to get to land. But nobody died. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. He says, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. God, you cannot outdo and you cannot outthink God. The most important thing, the best you can do, amen, is to fulfill what God has written concerning you. Now, your life was scripted by God from before you were born. God has plans concerning you, and these plans are good. What did I say? God has plans concerning you, and these plans are what? Are good. Listen to me. While you are walking in the will of God, there may be some things that will happen to you that at this time you will think that they will be unpleasant. But listen to me, at the end of the day, when you see the summation of what God has planned for you, you will see that his plans are good. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. There God says, I know the thoughts I have for you. They are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you an expected end. To give you what? An expected end. Now, these plans that God has for you can only find fruition, can only be fulfilled when you are born again. Amen? Because the plan that God has for you will not be fulfilled in your life when you are still in the kingdom of darkness and controlled by the devil. Oh, because by the way, I hope you know that the way God has plans for you, the devil also has plans for you. The devil is also quite organized. You know, he was with God for long, so he learned things. He's also very organized. Jesus Christ says his kingdom is not divided. His kingdom is standing. He says, Satan, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. There was a time they were accusing Jesus that Jesus was using the power of darkness to cast out devils. And Jesus was explaining something. Now, how many of you have seen Babalawos that do deliverance? I've seen them. Some of them will say in Jesus' name, but you know that they are Babalawo. You know how you know that they are Babalawos? If you go and meet them, they will say, okay, let me, King Shishefue, bring Abela. What is Abela? Kandu. Bring white cloth, bring fowl, bring palm oil and coconut. Anybody that you see that does that is a Babalawo that's holding microphone. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is the work of a Babalawo. That's not the way Jesus taught us. Are you getting what I'm saying? Please take note. Because some of you have been to such places. Yes. Amen? And don't go to such places again. Because when you go to such places, you expose your soul to darkness. Amen. You see, some of these things that we are telling you that we are laughing. I wish you really knew us. My own Christianity is not to come here and talk and talk and make mouth. I'm not. That's why I say I wish you really knew us. We've driven witches away from their location. And they themselves came to confess. We've cast out real evil spirits from people. Are you getting my point? This morning I saw something that looked like a charm in front of my house. I was angry. I matched it. I kicked it away. I said, get away. Most people will be afraid of. You know why I matched it? Because I know that what is in me is stronger than whatever is there. And that's not the first, second time such a thing has happened. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So when we are telling you these things, we are not just, you know, one brother called me the other time and he was saying, the problem is having, now of course, the Lord had even told me that he will have problem because he backslid. He backslid and backslid very well. And I was not telling him that the problem he's having is because he went to one, of course, I won't call his name. I respect people. The problem he's having, he went to one place, they say he's one of his family members. I say, oh God, cool down. All these prophets are always pointing family members to you. That's not the way God deals with people. Why is your family member's witchcraft able to affect you as a child of God? If you are truly a child of God, the person that should be determining things in that family should be you, not the witch. So the witch will decide that you will be poor, and then you will be poor. Are you getting my point? I said, if you continue, before you know it, they will go to the mountain and go and be doing dry fasting. Dry fasting without holiness is hunger strike. What did I say? Is hunger strike. Some of you here have gone to do dry fasting. Please, how did it help you? You go to mountain, you go and do dry fasting. You go and pray. You don't know anything about the principles of the kingdom of God. And then you keep going from pillar to post, from cycle to cycle. Who's telling me that his family, one of his relatives, is the one that is afflicting him? That he's even going to the mountain. I say, oh God, I'm not saying you should not go and pray, oh. But please, and please, when you gave your life to Christ and we were discipling you, and you were growing. You saw the level of prosperity and breakthrough that you had never seen in your life. And then you backslid. Why do you know the Bible says the God of this world, he blindens the eyes of people. Why can't you people? And the truth is that people, the devil is wicked. When we were discipling you, did we tell you to bring any fowl? Didn't you yourself open your mouth and testify that God brought you into a level of breakthrough that you had never seen? We saw it. But then he backslid. I started running after people that will be telling him, calling phone numbers. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, why am I saying all of this? It's for you to understand that your life is what? It's scripted. Oh, that's how we got to this story. Because if you know that your life is scripted, you know that God had a will for you from the foundation of the world, and you must fulfill that will. Because you know what? We are all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for the way we have lived our lives. And you know how God is going to judge us that day? You know how Jesus is going to judge us? He will say, hey, you built fine house in Banana Island. We're done. You preach the gospel in Cubana Club. We're done. If he wanted you, it was his plan for you to build fine house in Banana Island. And you did. That's when he will truly say, well done. It's not because of all the things that you sat down and you concocted out of the proclivities of your heart. No, no, no. At the things for which you'll be rewarded are the things for which he has proposed for you to do. Let's open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. We'll start from verse 12.
And I saw the dead.
And I saw the dead.
Small and great.
Mm-hmm.
Stand before God.
Yes.
And the
book was
opened.
Okay.
And another book was opened.
And the what?
And the book was opened.
Okay.
And
what translation are you reading?
King James. Which is the book of life. And the dead was judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead where it is, and dead and hell delivered, and dead and hell delivered up the dead which was dead, and they were judged every man according to their works.
All right. Now, you see the reason why I quickly went to open my King James Bible? Because sometimes S can make a lot of difference doctrinally. Ayo. Amen. He says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books, not the book, the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. You said the book, that's why I kept asking you. You see, he says books. Because your life, you see those books that were opened? That's where your destiny was written. And what was happening here? It was what? Judgment. Amen. When we appear before the judgment seat of Christ, we are going to be judged according to what is written in the books. What are the things written in the books? They are a product of the way we lived our lives and what was written concerning us. If you do not live your life according to what was written, you are going to have problem. And remember, why did the book of life show up? Because the book of life contains the names of people who had received the life of God by the new birth. Amen. John was telling the Christians in 1 John, he said, I write to you that you may know that you have eternal life. Because what happens is that you are translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light and the kingdom of life. You are translated from death to life. The day you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, are you with me? There was an eternal thing that happened. And when you bring that thing into time, it is older than time. The eternal thing that happened was that you were united with Christ. And by your union with Christ, you shared in the life of Christ. Amen. Jesus said, I am the vine. He says, my Father is what? The husbandman. He says, and you are the what? You are the branches. It is the life that flows in the vine that flows in the branches. Because you have chosen to align yourself with Jesus. as your Lord and Savior, to live according to Him, there is a life that flows in Jesus that now flows in you. Amen? And that's the reason why your name is written in the book of life. Now, when we take that, and because that life that flows in Jesus is eternal life. Amen? It is what? Eternal life is bigger. You find time inside eternity. So when something happens to you in that realm, when you bring it into time, it will be older than time. So it says that their names were written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. And it talks about people whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Because your name is written in the book of life because of your participation in the life of God. Amen. Your name is written in the book of life because of your participation in what? What's going on? Amen. Please, let's try not to be distracted. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. The plans that God has for you are good. Being born again allows you to be part of that plan. If you are not born again, you will be under the control and the manipulation of Satan. And when you are under the control and manipulation of Satan, you will not be able to fulfill your destiny in God. Those of you who preach the gospel, and you all should be preaching the gospel, one of the most important things that you must remember to tell people is that you cannot fulfill your destiny in God if you are not born again. Because many people want to fulfill their destiny. And for some reason, everybody believes that their destiny is good. Have you ever seen a person that believes that his destiny is bad? You know what? That is true. But that destiny that you believe is good is the destiny that the one in whom you were, in whose image you were created, wrote. You know, you were created in the image of God. There's a destiny that the devil has for you, and that destiny is not good. In fact, if you see that destiny, you will see that it is for you to end up in destruction, for you to end up in pain, in sorrow, in heartache, in depression. That one is not the destiny that God has for you. That is the destiny that. But if you are in the kingdom of darkness, that is the destiny that will be manifested in your life. If you are in the kingdom of light, the destiny that will be manifested in your life is the good plans that God has written concerning you from the foundation of the world. One of the things the Holy Spirit does for us. Now, how do we find out our destiny? Because these things that have been written concerning you from the foundation of the world, they will find expression in your life when you begin to walk in the Spirit. You know, the day that the Holy Spirit came upon the church, in the book of Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, Apostle Peter stood up and explained what was happening, because people were confused. They were confused because it was in the morning, and these guys were singing and praising God and were speaking different languages, and some of them could hear them speak their languages. And some people's conclusion, which is very funny and unfortunate actually, was that they were drunk. Have you ever seen somebody speaking your language because he's drunk? Anyway, people will always give an explanation for something that they don't understand. And usually it's not a good explanation. Yes, when people don't understand something, people usually demonize what they don't understand. So they said, they are drunk. So Apostle Peter had to come and explain to them what was going on. And he said, we are not drunk. This is still early in the morning. By this time, you have to drink alcohol for some time for you to get drunk. And he explained to them, see, this is what was written by the prophet Joel. Joel. He says, in the last days, I will pour out upon all flesh my spirit. He says, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. He says, your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Apostle Paul Peter was explaining it that this is because the Holy Spirit has been poured out. This is because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And he explained that it is because Jesus Christ has been glorified. He seated, because one of the things that happens when Jesus Christ, Jesus that they knew, Jesus the man, that is also God, that they interacted with, one of the things that was going to happen as a result of his ascension to the throne, to the eternal throne of heaven, was that there will be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You know, he says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. The Holy Spirit is the one that makes this possible. He's the one that does the drawing. Are we together? Now, he explained it to them, and one of the things that he said, which is very instructive, Acts chapter 2. I didn't plan to read this, but just for those of us that are writing and you want to go and study this. If you read from verse 17, it says, and in the last days, it will be, God says, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. This was him explaining what had begun and what continues today. He says, your sons and daughters will what? Prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. You realize that the Holy Spirit coming upon you and coming upon me does things that are revelatory. You notice that all of these things here are revelatory. When somebody prophesies, has somebody ever prophesied to you before? Yes. When somebody prophesies, what happens as a result of the prophecy? They are telling you things that you didn't know. Right? And they would mostly also tell you things that you know too, so that you will know that they know what is going on in your life. Good. When you dream revelatory dreams, you say your old men shall dream dreams. What do those dreams do? They reveal to you things that you what? Didn't know. I'm not talking about useless dreams. That are a result of when you ate too much pounded yam and ogbono soup. You know, there are those kind of dreams that happen when you have typhoid fever. I'm not talking about those dreams. I'm talking about the dreams that are a result of you filled with the Holy Spirit, not being filled with food. Amen?
Amen.
You see, Chibuzo, before I announced my wedding in the earlier part of this year, this man here called me in the office and said, Abi, what is going on that you are not telling me? I said, what? Because for some reason, I had not told my friends. And normally I would have told them, but there were some reasons why we didn't share the information early. And she was like, what is going on that you didn't tell me? I said, what? He said, Abraham, you want to get married? I was like, how did you know? He said, he dreamt twice. And in those dreams, he saw that I was married. I said, amen. And I said, yes, it's true. I'm getting married very soon. He was like, do you remember? Dreams. Dreams. So, the ones that are revelatory, they're a result of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
You see, those of you that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, one of the things that the Holy Spirit came to do, you see, some of you think that the job of the Holy Spirit is to make you to be speaking in tongues. It's okay. Yes, you should speak in tongues too. And speak in tongues, you must. Because that is one of the most effective ways of praying long. Amen? And that's one of the ways that you can be sure that you are praying in the Spirit. Even when you are inside a bus and there's a lot of noise and your neighbors are playing Naira Marley and are trying to disturb your soul and you want to pray in the Spirit, start speaking in tongues. Amen? Yes. And speak in tongues loud. Be hearing your tongues. You will just discover that your spirit, before you know it, in no time, you'll be filled with the power and the ambience of the Spirit. If you want to hear from God and you're finding it difficult to know what to do, speak in tongues for a few minutes. And make sure you are hearing the tongues. Because words are powerful. You may not know what the words are saying, but it doesn't mean that the power... People that make incantation, have you not seen people make incantation and the whole grown man will fall down? Do you necessarily know the meaning of what they are saying? But you know why that man fell down? Because the incantations were made and because his soul heard it. So when you speak in tongues, It's one of the functions, it's one of the things, the gifts that the Holy Ghost comes with when he comes into your life. And so you should speak in tongues. And you should speak in tongues very well. Amen? But if that is all the Holy Ghost did for you, the devil has deceived you. Because the Holy Ghost, one of the major things that he does to you is to come and unravel the scripts that God has written concerning you. So that you may understand the will of God. You know, he says, for this reason, be not unwise, but be ye wise, understanding the will of God. He said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that helps you to understand the will of God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. So, how do you know that this is what we are supposed to be doing? How do I know that I'm supposed to be here preaching the gospel? I'm not doing any, there are so many other things I could have been doing. It's because the Holy Spirit quickens that understanding in my heart. That's one of the things the Holy Spirit does. Let's read, there's a scripture I want us to read. I hope I will be able to have time to relate this scripture properly with what we are saying. If you read, it's in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. No. 2 Corinthians, let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. Alright, thank you so much. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one must be paid back according to what he has done. That is not the scripture I'm looking for. Alright, the scripture I'm looking for actually talks about how that no man knows the thoughts of a man, save the spirit of that man. It says, no man knows the thoughts of God, save the spirit of God. And it talks about how that the Holy Spirit, amen. It says the Holy Spirit reveals the plans and the thoughts of God to us. He said the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You see, let me tell you something. There are things about God, there are things about you that are hidden in God. And in order for you to walk in them, the Holy Spirit is the one that will unravel them. He's the one that will reveal them to you. Are you getting my point? If the Holy Spirit does not reveal them to you, there is no way, there is no other way of knowing them. Because they are hidden in God. See, you don't know your potential until you know God. You think you know your potential because you have muscles or because you can remember things that happened yesterday. Are you getting my point? No. These things are hidden, they are encoded. See, they are so hidden that the devil with all his intelligence cannot decipher them. He cannot decode them. If the devil could decode them, he would have known that Jesus Christ came to die and he wouldn't have been instrumental in the death of Jesus. If the princes of this world had known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Are you getting my point? So the only way by which you can know the will of God and walk in the will of God and fulfill destiny is by being baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's by walking in the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that will begin to... One day you wake up in the morning and the Holy Spirit will make it very clear to you, maybe through a dream or through a vision, that you are not supposed to be in utter. You're supposed to be somewhere else. And he will show it to you. Are you getting my point? And then you begin to walk towards that thing that he showed you. And then that is where you will find the fulfillment of your life. Where God has planted you. How many of us remember this teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ that he said that, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, nor what you shall drink, nor for your body, how you shall be clothed. He said, the breads of the air, he said, they don't worry, yet God feeds them. He says, even the lilies of the field, he says, they are more clothed than Solomon in his beauty. Because God is the one that clothed them. He says, even those ones that are not, he says, so take no thought. What do you learn from the lilies of the field? It is where you plant them that they stay. Right? It is where you plant them that they remain. If you are going to be where God has planted you, and the only way by which we know where God has planted you is when you are led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not lead you when you are not leadable. He's not your mate. And so that he will not destroy you, he will rather not lead you than give you instructions that he knows that you will not obey. So there are many people that say, I want to hear the voice of God. And the reason why they will never hear the voice of God is because they have not demonstrated any level of obedience to the voice of God that they have already heard. Some of you are crying that you want to hear the audible voice of God. The one that you've been hearing from the word of God, have you been obeying it? You don't know that when you hear the audible voice of God and you don't obey, that is a level of judgment that you may not be able to survive physically. Are you understanding my point? Amen. You want God to lead you. You want God to lead you. The one that is clear. God said, don't lie. He said, don't steal. He said, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Are you obeying it? Because if you have demonstrated obedience in the little things, then you are ready for the big things. Are you getting what I'm saying? So if you are going to live spirit-filled lives, that is when you'll be able to understand the will of God and walk in the will of God. You see, the message of today is that your destiny is secured. What did I say?
Our destiny is secured.
If you know where that destiny is, you know that there is no witch that can touch it. You know there is all this stealing of glory and stealing of destiny. And there is a version of your life. How many of you were here when I was teaching the other time, that anything that has weight in the spirit realm has shadow in the physical realm? Yes. How many people are satisfied with walking in the shadows? Abraham was supposed to be a father of many nations. Right? He had the capacity and the endowment of God to command his household after him. God saw it and God testified about it. And it was not just a physical or mental endowment, it was a spiritual investment of God in his life. Now, you notice that Abraham struggled to have his child for many, many years because the devil was attacking the physical manifestation of the spiritual blessing. What was the spiritual blessing? The spiritual blessing is what we are seeing today. How that because of the path that Abraham opened, many people have come to know God and have come to salvation. Amen? I know we are children of Abraham spiritually. I hope you know that. There was a covenant that God had with Abraham. It's that covenant that necessitated your salvation and my salvation. The Bible says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He himself being made a curse for us. Because it is written, curses anyone that hangs on a tree. He says that the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham is meant for Abraham and his generation. So the reason why the blessing of Abraham comes to you is because spiritually you are a descendant of Abraham. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He said that the blessing of Abraham may come to us, Gentiles, that we may receive the gift of the Spirit. Why? It's the Holy Ghost that facilitates and that guides us into the path of this blessing. It says, thou leadest me in a path of righteousness for thy name's sake. Amen. We don't have much time. So, I think I need to hammer on this point a little bit more. Have you ever seen somebody that has an ordination, for example, in God to be a prophet? And then, as a baby, his hair was like that. This one, you did it, right? Abi, you were born with that hair. No, you did it. You know, his hair was like that, and he begins to show signs of being a Nazarene or a Nazarite. Amen. And then even as a child, that before he is even born again, he will dream and it will come to pass. If he Yoruba will say, oh, La Shelenu. What does that mean? He has authority. He's not born again, though. But the day he now gives his life to Jesus Christ, and he now begins to walk in the reality, you will discover that what was happening even before he was born again was a shadow. Are you understanding what I'm saying? This thing, if you don't understand it, the devil will confuse you. Because the reality is the New Testament. The reality is the kingdom of God. The shadow was the Old Testament. And the shadow was very physical and relatable. Amen? The reality is the kingdom of God. They are the eternal things of God's kingdom. Holy Spirit, help me. That your people will understand this message in Jesus' name. Now, it's possible for you, because God has planned that you will be a star in his eternal kingdom. You know that when Jesus returns, he says, they that bring many to righteousness will be our stars forever and ever. Have you ever seen? Okay. It's possible for you that because God has planned that in his eternal kingdom, you will be great. I'm talking about for billions of years, for millions of years. God has planned that you will be popular. God has all of these plans for you. And these plans for you are quite peculiar. Are you getting my point? And the diviners, even this is, and you know that in order for you to walk in this plan, there's a way. You know, Jesus said, I am the way. There's a way by which you will walk, you will enter that plan. That way is that you will give your life to Christ. You will get baptized in the Holy Ghost. You will get discipled. You will remain in Christ all the days of your life. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, you will be translated into his nature and his likeness during the resurrection. And after that, what will happen? He will reward you and say, okay, you are going to rule over this part of my kingdom. He will give you crown and thrones. And in this world, when the Lord Jesus returns, in this world, some, we are going to rule over it. And we're not only going to rule over this world. Our government will be so powerful that, you see those things that Elon Musk has been ranting about. We want to colonize Mars. We want to colonize this. We will be able to do it easily. Even he that is talking about, he knows that he cannot do it. Because nobody has ever been to, the farthest people have gone to is the moon. It will take you more than, how many years will it take you to travel to Mars? 3 years. To go. Yes. And we have managed to send one rover, one toy car to Mars. So I want to know how long it will take us to go to Mars. Because the last time people went to Mars was, and people have not been gone to the moon, was many, many years ago during John F. Kennedy. And since then, they've not been able to go. It's not that easy to go. Are you understanding my point? In fact, it was a miracle, as it were. There were a lot of things that motivated those countries. America and the Soviet Union were competing. So they would pour their resources in measures that they would not pour their resources now. All of those things, they will be at our fingertips in our government. Our government will be so wealthy that we'll be able to pave our roads with gold. Where are we going to find the gold? We don't have enough gold in the planet to be paving our roads with. All the gold in the world is about a 20-meter cube. If you gather all the gold in the world that we have found so far, it's not more than a 20-meter. You know it's a 20-meter cube. It's 20-meter tall, it's 20-meter long, it's 20-meter deep, and all of that. That our government will be so wealthy that we'll be able to pave our roads with gold. Because we have the ability to go and import gold, to go and extract gold from other planets. Amen? You want to talk about wealth? Wait till Jesus comes back as ruler of this earth. Then there are some people in that kingdom that when they are coming, you know, if the governor of Ogun State came for this word encounter today, this street we know. That he decides that I want to be coming for word encounter every Saturday. This street. In fact, some buildings here will change the way they are looking. Why? Is it not the same way you have head that he has head? I mean, does he have tail? You know why? Because as far as the kingdom of this world is concerned, as far as Nigeria is concerned, he's a great man. In fact, if he wants to be driving, see, if he decides that he'll be coming for word encounter, you may discover that this road that is not good, they will do it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. Are you getting what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You see, in the millennial reign of Christ, there will be people that will be so great. People like Apostle Paul. People like you and me in Jesus' name. Yeah. That when they are moving around, you shall be seeing angels. You shall be seeing security, personnel. I'm not talking about all these ordinary human beings that are carrying miserable weapons. I'm talking about real power and glory. The weather will change. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because they are great in the kingdom of God. Hi. May you not lose your greatness in Jesus' name.
Amen.
He said, Do you not know that you will judge the world? Do you not know that you will judge angels? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. When they show up, angels will be on attention. Angels. I'm talking about the same angels that right now they have more power than us. And one angel can enter water and kill everybody. One. Oh, there are scriptural precedents. The angel that started in the morning and before David was crying, it was just one angel. He killed, by the time David begged God that he stopped, God stopped the angel. Over 70,000 people had died in Israel. The angel that entered Egypt and killed all the firstborn. How many angels were there? One. That's how powerful angels are. Angels don't be your mate though. But When the resurrection comes, someone will become like Jesus. You know, Jesus is the one that created them. And we'll be like him. Do I need to say more? Amen? Amen. How many of you, that is what you are going to inherit. So because they have seen that this guy is a star forever and ever, a shadow has begun to manifest. And that shadow manifested in the fact that this guy has the he will have influence over people in this hand, in this earth. Because the plan is that he will have influence over people in the eternal kingdom. These ones are within the, there are things that God determines, we don't determine. Whether you have 5 talents or 2 talents or 1 talent, the important thing is that you are faithful. Amen? Because in that kingdom, the people that will be stars are the people that are faithful. Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. So his life was scripted. They cannot see the script, but the shadow is manifesting. They say, ha, they want to steal his star. They want to steal his glory. How many of you have heard of those phrases? They want to steal his glory. What I'm trying to announce to you is that if you are in Christ and you are now living for Christ, you know, we are not even going to bother whether they stole your glory or not. Because what they stole is a shadow. Are you understanding? As long as the reality is there, the reality will always produce the shadow when it wants to produce the shadow. Are you getting my point? As long as the reality is there, the reality will always produce. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because when you find Jesus and you are found in him, you will find the reality of your glory. That one, the devil cannot hack it. The devil cannot steal it. So all this afraiding that they will steal your glory, there is no place for it when you are in Christ. They stole your glory. They stole your... It's because you are not born again. Or maybe you are born again, but you are not yielded to Christ. Because if you are born again and you are yielded to Christ, nobody can steal your glory. It is hidden in Christ, in God. Do you know how... See. Okay. This thing is producing... You know, if there is a light here now, and this is producing a shadow, and somebody removes this, and let's say the shadow is tangible, you know, as long as this thing is there, it can always produce the shadow. Uh-huh. That is how easy it is for God to restore your glory when you find Jesus. That is the one that you need to live your life here on earth, that you need to prosper. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Some of you don't believe what I'm saying. Tell your neighbor, believe. Because that's the way by which you connect with the eternal power of God. Faith. There are some things about the kingdom of God that sound so good to be true. The people of Israel, that's why they didn't enter the promised land. God told them that you will inherit the promised land. You will take over the promised land. You will even take over their houses and their farms. They said, no now. Have you seen those people? They are giants. They are stronger than us. They are bigger than us. And they didn't believe. You know what? That generation that didn't believe could not enter the promised land. It was their children. It was their what? Because those ones they believed, they were the ones that inherited the promised land. Please, one of the things that you must make sure you do is believe the gospel. Some of you don't believe that you are going to inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you, tell your neighbor, believe. The devil will say, it's not for people like you. You've committed too many sins. Listen to me. Jesus Christ did not come and save those that are the well. It is the sick that he came to save. Because your life that has been battered and shattered by sin is not the life that Jesus is going to use to fulfill his purpose. That life, you know what he will do to that life? He will kill it. And he will give you a brand new life. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. So the life you have in Christ is not the same old life. That glory that they stole, you want to know what you've messed up yourself, you've done. That glory is not the glory that you are going to use to fulfill your purpose in God. It's a new life. And then you now get realigned with what has been written concerning you in heaven. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Amen. We have to start praying. I want us to pray for all our new converts that none of them will go back to the world. None of them will go back to the world. They will fulfill their purposes in God. In Jesus' name we pray. Listen to this. As the Holy Spirit guides you into all truth, one of the things you will discover is that the things that God has written concerning you are unique to you. Those who compare themselves with themselves are not walking wisely. Because the plan that God has for you, you cannot do my work and I cannot do your work. So for me to be comparing myself with you and say, ha, he's preaching with camera. Me, myself, I must go and preach with camera. Did God tell you to preach with camera? Are you getting my point? It's they that compare themselves with themselves are not wise. Because when you are comparing yourself with other people and you are living your life by comparison, you are demonstrating that you do not realize that there is a script that is written concerning you and not working according to that script. As long as I am doing the one that God has sent me to do and I'm doing it fruitfully, I'm contented. I'm doing it faithfully, I'm contented. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you are not doing the one that God has, you are not doing the work that God has sent you, that's when you should be worried. Are you getting it? But when you, as long as you can identify, somebody told Daddy Gio. How many of you know, you also know Daddy Gio? I heard this story when I was a copper. That's almost 10 years ago. I don't know the man of God it is. Person told him, say, ha. He said, the rate at which this man of God is going, he will give you a run for your money. You know what that means? He said, the rate at which this man of God is going, ha, hey, he will give you a run for your money. What kind of talk is that? He said, God has written the work that he wants me to do. And God has written the work that he wants that man to do. He cannot do my work, and I cannot do his work. Well, you know, that's one of the reasons why that man is great. Because he knows what he's doing. He said, he cannot do my work, and I cannot do his work. Now, what kind of talk is that? Praise the Lord. You know, most people, if it's other people, it will start, that thing they said will start making them feel insecure. Start competing and say, ah, what are they doing in that ministry? Let us double do it. No. When you understand that your life has been scripted, God has written your destiny, you will now find that the work that God has given you to do, nobody can do it unless you refuse to do it. Because what happens is that if you refuse to do the work that God has given you to do, and you have demonstrated that you are not going to do it, because the work must be done, God will carry that work and give it to another person that is fit. And that person will do it. Because there are many people that will end up in hellfire if you don't preach the gospel. If you don't fulfill your destiny, there are many people that will end up in the torment and wickedness of the devil. And that's why the servants that did not do their assignment, Jesus Christ will tell them on that day, that wicked and lazy servants. They were just being lazy. They were just flexing. They were just living for themselves, but they did not realize that by not doing the work that God has sent them to do, people went to hell that were not supposed to go to hell. So they were actually wicked. That's why Jesus is not going to take it lightly with them. God has given you spiritual gifts. He has given you the ability to preach the gospel. And he has given you a mandate. And you are sitting on your hands. Do you want to be beaten on that day? Amen. That's not a joke. Jesus Christ said, the servant that knows the will of his master and does not do it will be beaten with many stripes. Whatever that means, you don't want it to happen to you on that day. Let us pray, Lord, help me. Help me to find your will and walk in it. Some of you here, you're already supposed to be discipling people. But you have not started because you didn't even know. You were too preoccupied by the cares of this life. You were too preoccupied by me, that you are not doing the work that God has given you to do. Say, God, help me. You, Tosin, the Lord said, Ash, the Lord wants me to tell you that you are already supposed to start discipling people. As you, listen, as you give yourself to discipling people, everything that you need to disciple them, God will provide. You may be asking, what does it mean to disciple people? That's what I'm doing for you. Checking on you, making sure that you know Jesus, making sure that you grow in the faith. You understand what I'm saying? You are supposed to be doing it to other people. Let people know Jesus because of you. That's how to live a life of purpose. There are many battles that the battles will just vanish away from your life when you start living that life. Because God will say, this guy needs his time to serve me. He cannot be spending his time fighting unnecessary battles. He will tell angels to go and fight those battles for you. I want us to pray that prayer. Lord, help me. Tosin, I pray for you. Receive grace. From now on, you have a word and a wisdom. You have a tongue and a wisdom to rightly dispense the word of truth. You are not a sinner. You are a righteous man. You will fulfill all that has been written concerning you. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. In Jesus' name we pray. You know, Jesus Christ said that for thy sake, for their sake, I sanctify myself. Have you seen that in the Bible, Bro Chibuzo? Do you realize that when you start discipling people, there are some things that, see, there are some temptations that I face. In fact, those temptations will not even face me because I know that I cannot afford to be committing certain sins. It's not even because of myself, but because of the people that I'm discipling. Because of the people. I say, what will happen to these people if I backslide? Are you getting my point? Are you understanding what I'm saying? The power, there is power that will be in your life, not because of your life. The Bible says the gifts of the Holy Spirit were given to profit with all. You cannot have the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life and it will not profit you. But the object of the gift is not for your own profit. It's to profit other people. When you make yourself available for that, you will find the gift in your life. When you make up your mind that you'll be a channel through which God will bless other people financially, God will make sure that you don't lack financially. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Can we choose from today that we will no longer live for ourselves? We will live for the one who loved us and gave his life for us. We will live for him. We will do everything we can do to encourage people, to disciple people, to elevate people in the knowledge of God. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Ha! Jesus, help me. In Jesus' name we pray. I'm going to read this verse and we're going to close on that. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 6. It says, therefore, we are always full of courage. If you read this from the beginning, you will see that he's talking about what will happen to us and their expectations as apostles. Apostle Paul was speaking concerning himself and the people that were with him, doing the work with him. He said, now, he said, therefore, we are always full of courage. And we know that as long as we are alive here on earth, we are absent from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. What does it say? These are the things that we believe. And these are the things that propel our lives. And he goes ahead to say, thus, we are full of courage and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Do you know why many of those disciples did not run away from dying? Have you noticed? They didn't run away from dying. Go and read Covadis. It's a story about the early church, how they were persecuted. They say, hey, they are persecuting you. They didn't run, no. They will go there. You know why? This is the reason why. Oh, you kill me before my time? I'm going to be with Jesus in glory. That fear of death, they have been delivered from. Hebrews said that he may deliver those who all their lives have been in bondage to the fear, to the fear of death. You see, when your eternity is sure, are you with me? When your eternity is sure, there's a level at which you will walk with God that you are sure that when you close your eyes, you will open it with Jesus. You will no longer be afraid of death. And it's not because you are suicidal. Amen? Can we lift up our hands and say, Lord, bring me to that point. Thank you, Jesus. That the devil does not have anything left with which he can use to threaten me. There are different kinds of debts. There is financial debt. There are all kinds of debts. Lord, bring me to that point where I'm not afraid of any debt. Thank you, Jesus. In the next couple of minutes, we are going to pray some fiery prayers. Take me to the place, Mashakata Valedis. The place you are, Neko Paleko Valeko Lobolekanadis. Please make sure you are praying. Make sure you are praying. Make sure you are praying. Masha katabali de bosokolo bole kolo bosokolo bole kolo bole kolo bole shegele bole kolo bosokolo bole kolo bosokolo bole kolo bole kolo bole kolo bole kolo bole kolo bole. That I will walk by faith and not by sight. I will live by faith and not by sight. Malekata malekata malekolo bosokolo bole kolo bole bole shekete kete kete bosokolo bole 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 bosokolo bole kolo bole lekete kete 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 bole kolo bole bole bole. That I will live the kingdom life. Mashakata bale de 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 bosokolo bole kolo bole bosokolo bole kolo bole shekele bole kolo bosokolo bole kolo bole kolo bole kolo bole kolo bole kolo bole kolo bole malekala de kolo bosokolo bole kolo bosokolo bole kolo bosokolo bole kolo bole kolo bole leke bole kene bole kene bole kene bole kada bole bate bole de de bosso bole kata bale de 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 jakala ba 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 de 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 jokote de 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 bosso kolo bole. Take me to that point, Lord. Mashakala ba 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 this. Enkete bosso so bole de 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 de. In Jesus' name we pray. We just have a few minutes to pray. I want to encourage you to take this opportunity and pray and install some life in your spirit. You see, when the power of God enters your life, one of the signs that power has come is that fear will go away. Is that what? Fear will go away. And there are different layers of fear. The devil keeps people under bondage through fear. Through fear. I will take this away from you. I will make you poor. I will kill you. I will do this one. I will do that one. But we do not overcome fear by psyching ourselves out of fear. Are you getting my point? We overcome fear by power. Amen? We overcome fear by what? Can we pray that the power of God will enter our lives? That we'll walk beyond the fear that the devil has used to keep us in any kind of limitation. There's a power of God that will enter your life that you will say, I can never be poor. You know. You know that the devil cannot cage any aspect of your life because of the power of God in your life. So you will never, you will stop living your life in fear of poverty. And then you will never know poverty. There's a power that will enter your life that you will stop being afraid of death. You will stop being afraid of death. And you will not, the devil will not be able to kill you before your time. There's a power of God that will enter your life. That you stop being afraid of people not accepting you and people not loving you and all of that kind of thing. Massacre. Because you know that you are accepted in the beloved. Anybody that loves you is doing themselves a favor. There's a power of God that will enter your life. That you no longer be afraid of the opinion of men. You will no longer be a man pleaser. Because you are pleasing God. How can I be pleasing the God that created people? And I'll be bothered about whether I'm pleasing men or whether I'm not pleasing men. Let that power enter my life. The power that enables me to please God. He said, as many as received him, God gave them the right. God gave them power to become the sons of God. Let his power enter my life, Lord. Even to them that believe on his name. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And now I prophesy concerning everyone here. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Doesn't the Lord wants me to talk to you again? How are you going to disciple people? Tell them what you know. Tell them what you know about Jesus. Let them know that there is life after death. And there is a life of peace and joy that they can come into, which is not determined by any circumstances around you. It's determined by your reality, the reality of the kingdom of God in your heart. Sorry, I was speaking big English. What I mean is that, let them know that there is a life in Christ. And that life is good. It's an unlimited life. And when this life on earth will be done, that life will continue. Show them the love of Christ. Amen. And the Lord will give you the capacity. In the name of Jesus. Now I want to prophesy to everyone here. The word of the Lord says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that's risen up against you in judgment. Every tongue. That's talking about curses. Every tongue that's risen up against you in judgment. You will condemn. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Somebody here, the Lord is giving you the gift of interpretation of tongues. The next time I speak tongues like this, you will hear, you will know the meaning of what I'm saying. I don't know if there's anybody that received that. You will receive that gift. Receive it in Jesus' name. He says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen. And every tongue that has been risen up against you in judgment, he said I should condemn it. Amen. Anyone here that is under the influence of a curse, that curse is condemned.
Amen.
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 That curse is condemned. That curse is condemned. In the name of Jesus. Whatever they call it, near success syndrome, all of that kind of stuff, it will no longer be your experience. When a door has started opening in your life, it will open completely. It will not be shut. Take note of what I'm telling you. Take note. Go and start checking it in your life. Oh, yes. Every cause of infirmity, Malekabaya, Osobolai, let it drop now.
Amen.
Let it drop now.
Masokovale
de Bosovanes. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. The Lord said, okay, I think I will tell you that later. Can we just give the Lord thanks for this time? There's one of you, a lady has been trying to get close to you. After this prayer, you will find that that lady will no longer be interested in being close to you. Please, that is an answer to prayer. Because that lady was a weapon fashioned against you. May the Lord give you understanding in Jesus' name. But the Bible says it shall not prosper. So that weapon is destroyed. Your destiny will not be marginalized because of strange women. Everybody here, we are men. And you know, many people, when the devil wants to do, men, when the devil wants to destroy your life, he will usually send a strange woman into your life. Lego vane sovale katalia nobai. Amalege los ompadai. The weapon of darkness concerning you will not prosper.
Amen.
Married men, you are not exempted. You are not exempted. the weapon of darkness against you will not prosper.
Amen.
I want you to know that it is possible, and that is the norm, for you to be a believer, and from today, immorality will not be mentioned in your life.
Amen.
There is no woman that will say, I know his nakedness from today, apart from your wife.
Amen.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is the will of God. How many of you want to walk in the will of God? Hallelujah. So that you can say like Derek Prince, when the devil has, you say, no, it is the will of the devil. I don't walk in the will of the devil. Receive grace for that in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
To be men that know how to possess their vessels. Father, we thank you. So you will notice that there is a lady that has been trying to be close. All of a sudden, she will stop trying. It is an answer to this prayer. Because that lady was a weapon. If you got entangled with that lady, you will download curses and setbacks that will affect your life for almost 20 years. And this is also a warning. Be careful. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. We're rounding up now. God Most High, Jesus Christ is El Elohim Israel. Please, if you desire a spiritual gift, ask the Lord for it now. You desire a spiritual gift, ask the Lord for it now. Spiritual gifts, prophecy, gifts of healing, discerning of spirit, working of miracle. Because the Lord told me just now that he wants to give somebody a gift. Bro Chibuzo, you were the one that received the gift of the interpretation of tongues. Sofa ladeka. Lege banende, sofa nende. You will hear tongues, you will just know what it is. You will know the meaning. Baleko falende, suna in kabaledes. You see, when you walk in that gift of interpretation of tongues and you speak in tongues and you have that gift, it is equal to the greatest gift of prophecy. You will not go back to the world. Thank you, Father. Let's worship the Lord for this time of prayer. Let's worship him. Let's give him glory. Go and expect the power of God to begin to answer in the various situations and aspects of your life. Father, we worship you. Sepulana ne kalabane ne ne ne. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
As we bring the meeting to an end, we normally take offerings because it will give you an opportunity to be blessed. That's true. And we also need those offerings for our welfare needs here. And you know we pay for this hall. Stream Globe Ministry pays for this hall, but it will be good if those of us here that come here are the ones paying for it. That will be a sign of growth, right? So if you have an offering, you can put it in the offering basket. If you do not have an offering, the Lord will bless you beyond your imagination. For those of you that have given, the Lord will bless you to the point that you will be a channel of blessing to his people in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you so much for what you have enabled us to give. We ask that you bless us and make us bundles of blessing. We cover this walk here with the blood of Jesus. We ask that what you are doing here will only continue to grow. And your people will grow into the fullness of the stature of Christ. For you gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers for the edification of the church. That we be built up into the stature of Christ. Let that happen here, Lord. And let your name be glorified. I put an end to every regime of darkness in the life of anyone here. I put an end to every regime of darkness. Thank you, Father, for hearing us. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name we pray. And thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. See us next week. Yes, you're about to invite us.